Okay, now Yosef. Goes like that.
Wow.
It's already December. It's crazy. See? Okay, let's go. Okay, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Migrei Aviv Beretz Kanan. Okay, the parsha begins. Yaakov lived, stayed, sat, whatever, in the place of his father in Eretz Kanan. Eila Todos Yaakov. These are the Todos. I didn't put a translation. Maybe that's better. What does that mean, Eila Todos Yaakov?
So the Chronicles,
that's it? Like the Chronicles of Narnia. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Generations, descendants.
Can you pull the
chair away
for sure?
I'm sitting on the phone. Right, Toldos, sometimes we would translate it as?
Generations?
Generations of, children of, right? It can't really mean that here because Eila Toldos Yaakov Yosef Ben Shva Esrei Shana. Yosef was 17. Hayarueh dechabatzon, and he would, also a weird line, he would shepherd his brothers with the sheep. It's kind of a funny thing to say. V'hu nar es b'nei bilhav es b'nei zepanah she'aviv, and he was a na'ar with two, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, who were the wives of his father. V'yaveh Yosef es dibasam re'al avihem, and Yosef would bring the bad tidings to his father. It's very difficult sukkim to translate, actually. And there's so much to talk about at every single pasuk over here about what's really happening here. But I want to focus today on this Rashi. Okay, take a look at Rashi in source number 2. So Rashi says the following. Eila Todos Yaakov. These are the Chronicles, generations, right? It's hard to translate. Of Yaakov. Eila Shel Todos Yaakov. Ah, so Rashi says, that shouldn't be there. These are that which...
Some of them?
Some of Eila Shel. How would you translate that?
Like belonging to? That's like part of, these of?
Like these of, these are like the stories about?
Right.
Right, I mean, this is... But the point being, what's Rashi, What's bothering Rashi?
It's not all of them.
It's not all of them, and it's also not what?
It's not generation.
It's not. Eila Todos right. Yaakov would have been. These are children of Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, right. Yehuda. Right. It's clearly not. Here, Todos. By the way, right. Todos does oftentimes refer to lists of names, mm-hmm. right? Esav, Yishmael. We have multiple times if you're the lucky bar mitzvah boy. Who has our mitzvah parsha, like right, look, the end of Noach, the end of like the different parshios, they end by telling you the stories, by literally, it doesn't tell you any stories actually about these people. It just tells you like, this one was this old, and then he died, and he had these children, and like, it just like gives us all this information, which is really just ages and names and where they died and where they were buried, etc. Right? That's Toldos, right? It's like family trees, right? This is clearly not that, because... What's it really going to be?
Now we're going into the weeds with like details.
Right, we're going deep down into one family. So it says Rashi, Eila Shel Todos Yaakov, right? These are sort of the chronicles of, right? The stories of, this is when you're going to talk about one of the Todos, right? Eila Shel Todos Yaakov. Eila Yishuvayim V'Gilgulayim At Shabo L'Klal Yishuv. This is like one of the stuff that happens to them until they finally settle in and become a family. Siba Rishona Yosef. And what's the first reason? Meaning, how do I explain what happens to Yaakov's family? If you want to ask me what's the... There's probably some fancy word you use like in storytelling about like the thing that is like the trigger for all of the stuff that's going to happen now in Yaakov's family. What's the trigger? Yosef. Who is the trigger? Who's the guy? Who's the linchpin?
Yosef,
with the brothers, his relationship with his father, with his brothers. Mm-hmm. Yosef, the story of Yosef is going to teach me and send me in a certain direction and make the entire story go where it's going to go at the end, right? So, Siba Rishona, the first, it doesn't mean reason, like we say Siba, like a reason, but it means like the first trigger, right, is Yosef, Ben Shvas, Rishona, et cetera, et cetera. It's because of this story, right? Let me tell you a story, children, about the Jewish people and Yaakov's family.
That
The catalyst. Thank you, the catalyst, right? So let me tell you a story about Yaakov and his family. And the way to begin that story is to tell you about a boy named Yosef, right? It's great storytelling. You're welcome, Hashem. He doesn't need my haskama, but fine. Okay? Zehu acher pshuto shel mikra. Lios davar dibur al ofanav. Because if you're asking me the simple pshat, this is like Rashi being the Rashbam for a minute, right? This is like if you pick apart the words, this is what they really mean. Ela shel toldos Yaakov. And what is the stories of Yaakov's children? The catalyst is the story of Yosef and his children and his brothers. Fine. Umidrash Agadah Doresh. And the Medrash also makes a drasha. Tala akasav toldos Yaakov b'Yosef. What do you mean? Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. What does that mean? All of the generations, the continuity of Yaakov is in whose hands?
Yosef's
hands. Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. So simple pshat is Ela toldos Yaakov. This is what happened with Yaakov's children, and it starts with the story of Yosef. Or you say, no, Ela toldos. This is how Yaakov's, Misora will be transmitted through whom? Well, all of them, but start with Yosef, right? Why is that? Bipnei kamed varim for a number of reasons. Achash shakol atzmo shel Yaakov lo avad eitzel lavan ela berachel. So number one, Yosef is the son of the woman who he really wanted to marry, which is Rachel. I don't like when they say the favorite wife. Aleph, it's like not nice to Leah, but Bay is like, it's a little bit not nice to Yaakov. I was like, partly, what do you want from the guy? You know, he got tricked. So he married the woman by accident. So like now he's stuck. And now he marries the woman he really wants to marry. Oh, he has favorite wife. Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's a little unfair to him.
Out of curiosity, is there any stories, did he treat Leah nicely?
We don't have any stories that he treats her poorly.
Right. I'm saying it was.
Nowhere in the Torah does he treat Leah in a not nice way. First of all, the only person Yaakov ever speaks not nicely to is Rachel. Right, she comes to him, Havali Banim, and he a little bit yells at her. Yeah. And the Chazal go crazy, yell at him back. But he's not nice. He's never not nice to Leah. He's not. It's sort of like this natural uneasiness, which is very normal for the woman that he didn't choose to marry. Right? Okay, fine. So number one, everything was about Yosef because that was the woman that was Rachel was his mother. Vishahaya ziv ikunin shall Yosef domelo. And another piece that Yosef looked just like his father. Probably isn't just how he looked, but probably reflective of. If he looked like him, what does it probably mean?
Acted like.
And he probably also had his, similar. Right. I guess it's possible, but like. Everyone probably has their own experience like this. When you have a child who looks like a particular one of the parents, they may favor them, but they may also have other traits that are similar to that parent, right? That's true in certain families.
Or assumed to, and because they're assumed to, they actually end up developing them.
But I think it's definitely true, that's probably part of this. Like, he looks like him, this is the one who looks like that, right? And everything that happens to Yaakov happens to Yosef. There's all kinds of things that happen to Yosef that happen also to Yaakov. Right? I noticed one other thing that I never thought about that happens to both of them. Yaakov fights in last week's parsha with the Ish who arrives. Yosef, we talked about this before, when he's going to find his brothers, and he can't figure that, Vayimsa'ehu Ish. Right, they both get an angel, accosts each of them. They both are away from their family for a long time. They're like all these, right? All these things that happen to each one of them is on their own in a foreign place. All these things happen to both of them. Okay, va'od nidrash bo. Okay, so fine. So those are a couple of reasons that Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is the one who's going to be his guy. Fine. So either Ela toldos shel Yaakov, this is the story of Yaakov's family, and therefore we tell the story of Yosef because Yosef is the catalyst, or we say Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is like the toldos. He's like children, but the main child is Yosef. Fine. Okay. But now I want to show you another midrash. Va'od nidrash bo. Vayeshev. Bikish Yaakov leishev b'shava. This is what I really want to talk about a little bit today. Yaakov wanted to sit b'shava.
In peace.
In peace. He wanted a little peace and quiet. I got the title right on this one. Okay? He wanted a little peace and quiet. Kafatz alav rokzo shal Yosef. And as Vayeshev Yaakov ve'eretz migorei aviv, Yaakov is sitting in his father's, he's back there, it's Canaan, finally he's got rid of Lavan and this and that and Esav and Dinah and now he's back home and he just wants to have a little quiet. Right. And what happens? Yosef. Mm-hmm. Okay, Yosef becomes the next story. Tzadikim mevakshim leishev b'shalva. Tzadikim want to rest a little. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ladayan letzadikim mashem mitukon lehem le'olam haba. Hashem responds, you'll be able to relax when you die. Mm-hmm. Right? People say that? I'll relax when I'm dead. Yeah. People say that, yeah.
My father would say on trips, we go on trips and you wake up 4 a.m. and I was like so tired, he goes, you can sleep when you're dead.
You can sleep when you're dead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
You know, this is not Yosef. This is Yaakov's catalyst when he gave him the ketonet pasta.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good. Good
choices.
And the ketonet pasta is kind of midah k'neged midah because he wore clothing to fool.
Oh, wow. Right. Good. Excellent. So fine. But Hashem says, so now you're going to have time to rest in the Olam Haba. And the Vavakshim, Leishiv, B'Shava, V'Olam HaZeh. You want to relax in this world too? Sorry, Yaakov, not happening. Yosef. And all of the things with Yosef, which is tzaris for him for years and years, decades of tzaris for Yaakov Avinu, that happens now. Anyone have a question about this? Medrash, the bolded one?
I'm making it fit here. Like, I get the concept of it, but I'm like, why is he bringing
it to go here?
So I think I'm making it fit because when we say Ela told us Yaakov, our expectation is now like, that's when the story usually shifts to the children, which it does, like Avraham Holid is Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak's story starts. But like, you have the long generation, you recite wives, you recite descendants, and then that person sort of fades to the background.
Uh-huh.
But here, like, so you're kind of expecting like, okay, he's here, he's sitting in this place. Now, Eli Todos Yaakov, here are all these sons. And then it's like, almost like a quick, like that record scratching sound, you know?
Like nope. Not gonna happen.
Right, you can't do that.
No, not gonna happen. Sorry.
Right.
Not what you thought.
Yeah.
Good. And so that's how this fits.
Right, exactly. Good. That's how I'm making it.
Okay.
Fit.
Good. Is it so bad to want to have a little bit of peace and quiet?
Right.
Is that very bad?
No. Like, why is he being tortured so much?
Yeah, we gotta torture him for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like what's going on here with Medrash.
And like, it's not like what happened before was.
It's not enough. Like, I understand it. You want him to work hard. Okay, you want him to work hard. It's like, this is torturous that happens to him. It's like really bad. It's very, very difficult what happens to him, right? So like this, I don't know. It's like, it sounds a little, you know, it sounds a lot. It sounds like a lot. Take a look at the Sifrei Chachamim. Sifrei Chachamim, right? That little test in the bolded area in source number 3. No, source number 2, right? See that?
Mm-hmm. Do we talk about him being punished? Like in one cheer, we talk about him being punished for what he did.
The 22 years that he's away from his father, Yosef stays away from him for 23 right. years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he stays in Haran for 22 years, so he stays. He loses Yaakov, you know, Yosef for 22 years. Yeah,
but which like, still seems like I don't know.
It's hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
His father knew where he was, and when he thinks,
and he sent him there.
Dead. I'm saying,
right. Yeah, right. This is very different. Yeah, this is bad. So the Sifrei Chachamim, you know, always tries to like speaks to this question of what's bothering Rashi. It's what's called a super commentary. It's a commentary on a commentary. It's the very Jewish thing. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough to have a commentary. You have to have a commentary on the commentary. There's a full
tell set. Tell that to Ellie.
Yeah, very good. There's a full set. There's a full set. Like, well, it looks like a regular Mikros Gadolos, mm-hmm. and it's actually just all super commentaries on Rashi. Mm-hmm. Multiples. Right. Okay. So, anyways, so this the Sifrei Chachamim is like made the most well known. It's on the pages of the Mikros Gadolos. So the Sifrei Chachamim writes the following. He's trying to describe why this pasuk, why the word vayeshev is written out, how it's written. But come over who yashab pesach ha'ol over lo yashab, etc. Masha enkin hacha she'en makom nejosh b'kesh. You mean there's nothing to say? Yesh lomar demidichsev achakach eila todos Yaakov Yosef she'en lo kesher im vayeshev Yaakov. Meaning here, what's bothering Rashi? This is the point that Bina, I think you made before. We said Vayeshev Yaakov. He's sitting quietly, right? He's sitting now, or he's just living in Eretz Canaan. And then Ela Talos Yaakov Yosef. Look, what's the connection between Vayeshev Yaakov and Ela Talos Yaakov Yosef? He could have just said Ela Talos Yaakov Yosef. Why are you starting with the Vayeshev Yaakov? What's that for, right? Oh, hi, Lomar, Ela Talos Yaakov Reuven. Or you should have started by telling me these are children of Yaakov, and the first one's Reuven, which, by the way, we do in Ela Shemos, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Mitzrayim, and we describe them all, right? Al-Kain Balafaresh, so what's Rashi coming to say? She'ela told us Yaakov Yosef Garmu Shaloniskaima Hamachshava Shel Vayeshev. Right? What Rashi's trying to tell me is, what happened here? Vayeshev Yaakov, and then Ela told us Yaakov. I don't need both of these things, unless they're connected, or connected, yeah, sort of connected. That like the Vayeshev Yaakov was what Yaakov wanted to do, and the Ela told us Yaakov Yosef is what actually happens. Right? And that's what's going on here, right? Umasha Kosav Kafa Talav Rogzo, right? Perish Hamachlokos Reriv Shalom, with all the fighting and everything, etc. All that happens is the things that he didn't want to be. Fine. But the bottom line is, this is I'm just pointing out why Rashi makes, what's the connection between Vayeshev Yaakov and Ela told us Yaakov? The point is, the connection is he wanted to just relax. Hashem says no. Okay, but the kasha is, why?
Expression.
Yeah.
Life is what gets in the way while you're trying to live.
Yeah.
You go to sleep sometimes at night and have a plan for the next day. And you wake up and the plan has to be totally.
Sometimes I sit with a young man in yeshiva and they're dating. And it's going well. We've been dating for a month or 6 weeks or whatever. Everything's going great. And the guy says, like, well, what do I do to make it, like, go more? Like, how are you going to
next level, next step,
da-da-da. So there are some answers to this question, but sometimes I say to them, you don't have to do anything. So just keep going out, and I have a surprise for you. Life is going to happen. And while you're dating, she's going to fail a test, or you're going to have some time with your parents. Or something's going to happen, and you're going to have to manage that together. And you're going to start to, right, figure out, like, you're going to get to know each other through the challenges or the happy things in life. And as life happens, you're going to just kind of experience that together. And that itself will help you see, it'll bring it together or not. But you'll get to see, like, how that goes, right? If you just wait a little while, life will happen. Right? Life will happen. Exactly. And that's like, right? So that's part of the argument, or the point here. Okay, fine. But why? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it so bad for Yaakov to want Shalva? And why is it something Hashem won't give him? So I want to bring to you today 3 to 4 answers to that question. Why is it so bad for Yaakov to want peace and quiet? And why will Hashem not allow him to have it? And, you know, maybe we'll talk about what that means for us in real life. And I'm going to bring you today 3 sources that we typically don't see, which is also exciting. Okay? The first one is a sefer called Limudei Nisan, source number 7 of Nissen Alpert. It was a Rosh Hashiva in YU. Passed away like in, I don't remember exactly, 1980s. But it was Rosh Hashiva in YU. Wrote a sefer called Limudei Nisan. Beautiful Divrei Torah on the Parsha. And so he has actually 2 points on this idea. He writes in source number 4. Vayeshev Yaakov. Bikesh Yaakov leishiv b'shava katzav alav rotzu shal Yosef ayin b'rashi. Fine. V'kasha, and that's a problem. V'chisani l'kadosh baruch hu da'ach le'tre alma. So this is a language that Chazal use. We'll see it comes up multiple times about this story. Like, is it so bad that a person should benefit in both worlds? Meaning, what did Chazal say? Rashi says, you want to relax? You relax in the next world. No, he says, so bad to relax till I have a little like enjoyment in both worlds. Can I have a little nachas in this world too? It's okay. It doesn't have to be like all wait for Olam Haba. V'od, dikar ha'olam nivra b'shvilat tzadik. And this world is actually created for tzadikim. V'ayim b'arambam, back to muscle, let's say there's right. Fine. V'anir lomar, and what I, you know, appears to me to say, the Yaakov Avinu haya mis'asek tamid im dagas esef. Esav. He was so much bothered, worried about Esav. Shalo yechanu gam mibet en imo. As the pasuk says, Yitzrosu abanim dekribo. Right? V'hine yado achezes b'akev Esav. Right? Like, for the moment he's alive, Yaakov was fighting with Esav. This is like his whole life, right? U'machamazu hishkia kol kochosav. And he put all of his energy into like defeating his brother. Ulevasof, kishaala b'yadu lahashlim imeisav chashev shikvar nigmara malachto. Imagine, he finally meets his brother, this whole thing, he fights with the angel, and this, and the whole story, right? We spent a whole two parshios on it, and finally, he feels, gamarnu, I'm finished, I was successful, right? The angel tells him, he's called Yisrael, because sarisim elokim v'anashim v'atuchal. You fought with human beings and with God, and you won. You did it. So he says, great. I did it. I'm finished, right? The basof, sorry, kisha ala b'yadol ha'ashim esav, chashav shkvar nigmar amlach, the time is done. V'yachol achshav lasheves bebetach, u'bekfiyos lashkiach atzrachav. Now he can just relax, and just like deal with his business and whatever he needs to do, take care of his kids. Kavetz alav rog zosha Yosef. And what happens? The story of Yosef and all of his troubles start. Kedi lalamdo. Shekol zman she'ena shoreres achva gemura ben b'nei Yisrael adayin sakana gedola lohetes aleihem. Wow, what a line. A prophetic line, right? As long as Am Yisrael is not getting along, we are in danger. We are in danger. V'asulo lasiach daito mi'avodaso. You cannot step away from your responsibility as long as Am Yisrael is not getting along. So Am Yisrael was really pretty small, then it was 12 people, right? Right? But as long as, the point being, like, you think you're done because you dealt with your one issue, your personal thing with your brother, which was obviously not personal, it was, you know, universal. But it was still personal. That's finished, you think you're finished, you're not finished. Why? Because your kids aren't getting along. You have more work to do. Ki me'agoyim ha'kamim Am Yisrael, Hashem, yishmerenu miyadam, because the Goyim are constantly attacking us and trying to knock us out of our country. About this wow. Albert's writing in the second half of the 20th century. So he's talking, you know, I don't know if he's talking about Am Yisrael Eretz also, but look how he is. Aval miatzar hapnimi, hakina v'asina v'hapirud hasholet bina achim yigrom es hagalos. There are angels, this is fire, right? That we have Hamas, and we have Hezbollah, and we have Iran, and we have all the bad guys in the world trying to take us down. What is the thing that actually takes us down?
Sinus,
our own fighting. It's true.
It is true.
It's absolutely true. But there's no question that's the truth. So obviously true. We can defeat all those guys. But if we're still fighting, it's not going to work. Me'atzar ha'pnimi. Right? V'yadua sheYaakov misamel es tekufas hagolus ha'acharon u'beisamikdash mikdash hashein necharav lo machmas tzva haromi sheba me'edom ki machmas sinas chinam. And Yaakov Avinu, who symbolizes Golus, because Yaakov lives so much of his life in Golus, he's the Golus Jew. Yosef also is the Golus Jew, right? He is representative of this idea, because the second Beis HaMikdash, as we know, was not destroyed because of we didn't keep mitzvos. It would be keeping lots of mitzvos. It was learning lots of Torah. They were doing all wonderful things. It happened because we didn't like each other. Answer number one. It stopped there, probably, right?
Was there ever a period where we all did like each other?
No.
Right. Just like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's not true. The Gemara says that, who was it? There was a king. Which king was it?
You could say anything. We're going
to
believe.
I know. That's why I have to be careful. Like, no, there's a king who used to take him out to battle. The Umar says this. I forget who they're talking about. Some king was not such a great king. And he says they were maybe like Rehavam, like one of these really bad guys, Menashe. Like one of these really bad kings. And the Umar says basically that they would go out to battle, right? And they would be successful. They were doing Avodah Zarah. Why, he says? Because they got along with each other. He goes, and the other kings, well, they weren't doing Avodah Zarah, but they were fighting with each other. They go to battle and they would lose. They say the same thing. That as long as you cared about each other, Bon Shalom is happy. Right? There have been times, look at David HaMelech, there were times when we had a Shlomo HaMelech, right, where the Machas Yisrael was good and we were getting along and things went fine, and then eventually it fell apart. It was like 400 years like that, something like that, you know? Right. Not bad. But it is very hard. It is the hardest thing. Look at the world. Holy cow, the world can't figure it out. No one in the world can figure this out. Like, they get along in the Netherlands or something? Or in Switzerland, they get along with each other? I don't know. We always think that up there, the Scandinavia, they don't fight.
Giving him an impossible, like, like, like tochacha. It's like, they how give, do you want, like, you have all these children. I mean, I can't with my three kids. I'm like,
yeah.
Right. You have all
welcome
the
to 12.
With all their, like,
the two, and that's just the 12 boys. He had daughters also.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a lot of kids.
How do you, I'm just curious how to translate
yes.
Rogzo shel Yosef.
Like, rogue usually means anger.
I call it aggravation.
Yeah, you got aggravation. That's good. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I was doing in my head.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Rogzo shel Yosef. Like,
right.
Agita.
Uh-huh.
Agita. Yeah. Agita.
Yeah,
agita.
It's all that same, like, aggression. Okay. Shoresh.
Yeah.
It's like,
Rogez is anger, frustration, tension. Yeah, exactly. Wow, what a powerful. I knew that was nice, but I didn't realize how powerful it was until I read it again. Okay, that's one of his answers.
And it works really nicely also going back to what happens in the words of the psukim, because it's like Ayla told Yosef, and what do we say about Yosef?
Boom.
Yosef is like
speaking
going
Lashonara.
Around hanging out with these brothers and
not those ones.
And it,
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's all sinasinim.
Like the vagation. Like
it's all sinasinim. Yeah.
Like the calm, right. Settling.
Right. And then boom, and where does all the boom come from? They're not getting along. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. Right? And by the way, no one talks it out. At least not in the psukim.
Right.
No one talks about it. Hey, like, who should we? Instead, it's like, here he is. Let's throw him in a pit and kill him. We just talk to him about it. Ask him what he thinks. You know, like, okay, can we try to get along?
We don't
know.
Right.
Correct?
Maybe.
So there's drushes chazal, you know, because we shared them here, right? That maybe when he tells, see Shlom Acheichem, he sends him to see Shlom Acheichem B'Shechem. Shalom means he tells them, you know, go try to make shalom with them. There's different, the Nesivah Shalom says that. So there's different pshatim that maybe he tried. But
it's like what you said, right? Like giving him, like, Tomer Pasen. Like,
yeah, that's a thing.
He, like,
yeah.
He, like, singled Yosef out. So why, like, maybe that's, like, tocha to him. Like, he started,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Started
yeah.
with this.
Yeah.
He was
not
raised
perfect.
In a household with that favoritism model.
Right.
What did he ever see that made, like...
Yeah, some say, by the way, karpas. Yeah. Karpas, some say that the reason, Rabbeinu Manoach says, the reason we dip karpas in at the Seder, karpas is ketona pasim. Ketona pasim. They did the coat. Okay, so does that mean that was the giving of the coat, but even the dipping of the blood? But, like, right, there's a sense of, like, all this, right, that there's, like, really... Yes, Tehillat V'Agamon, yes, I'm talking about that, yeah, good. Okay, so that's one answer. One answer is... This is a rule for all of Klal Yisrael. If Am Yisrael's fighting, we don't take a break. We don't have time for Leishiv B'Shava. I'll just live out my life and I'll be fine. I can't just live out, but Am Yisrael needs me. Okay. Answer number two. Amnam. Hidbar b'mefarshei Torah chiluk shebein she'ila bakasha. What does the Medrash say? The language of the Medrash is very specific. Bikesh Yaakov Leishiv B'Shava. Yaakov did not shoel. He didn't ask. He was mivakesh. Okay. What is the difference? Bikesh and she'al. Sheshem she'ila more apnia lagas tachlis. When a person asks a question, she'ila, they're asking to try to get to something, right? They're trying to arrive at some type of goal. When someone says, can I ask you what, we would say in English, she'ila is a question, and a bakasha is a
request,
right? So she'ila is, I'm trying to, like, figure something out, right? She'ina tachlis b'fnei atzma. No, it's not, I'm not trying to get something. Our children, if our children come with a she'ela, they usually want to know, like Abba, like, what's, why is da 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 da? When they come with a bakasha, like they do these days, it's Black Friday. I'm like, you can't come out of your room and your first question is, can I buy? That's not, we do, hi, how was your day? So I'm talking about other people's kids. So like,
text.
Right, yeah. Yeah, what? This is the thing that I want. Like, hello, hi. How are we doing? Hope you're having a good day. But a she'ila is a question. Something you're trying to understand.
Right.
A bakasha is, I want something.
It's like when you say no to the bakish, and then they have a she'ila, why?
Yeah. Very good. Okay, like good. So this is why this is very relevant to today. Okay, ava bakasha nemra al davar mevukash mamish. Right? So she'ila morea pinya lagat tachlis, she'ina tachlis bifnei atzma. I'm not, like, trying to, like, get to some goal per se. I'm trying to figure it out. But bakasha is something specific, right? I want something. V'ayim I am midrash v'iyun, okay? V'kvar limdainu harambam shekola yehudim shal tov b'olam hazeh einam schar shal mitzvah. All the things that we're trying to do in this world, that's not, when we get something positive in the world, right? It's not because I'm getting, like, I do something and something good happens. It's like, ooh, I'm getting a reward for the good, for the mitzvah that I did. No. Sheschar mitzvah b'ya amalekah. We don't believe that a person gets reward for mitzvahs. You did a chesed yesterday, And then today, you know, I don't know what happens. You win the lottery. That's not a reward for the fact that you did a mitzvah yesterday. Because we believe there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Huh? How can that be? El Shayadea Tov V'Ashava Nuchal La'avodas Hashem B'li Ma'afriim Shal Da'akot Ha'Parnasa V'Tzaris. Right? When we, let's say, because everyone asks the question. If you say that it's a concept, that Schar Mitzvah B'Hay Amalekah, there's no Schar, there's no reward for mitzvah in this world. Do you ever read the Shema? Do the mitzvahs, what will happen? V'Nasati Metar Tzachem B'Toy Re'o Malkosh, and get rain, and you're going to have lots of food. I thought you're not going to get rewarded.
Or if you are, give your parents, right, your
long life.
Right, you got long life. Yeah, so what does that mean?
Like, there's tons of things.
Right, so what does that mean? Your long life could be a long life. Right, but just the Torah itself.
So right, it says,
yeah. So what's the pshat? So the Rambam explains. The Rambam says, why do I want, well, this question, if you show me, says God, again, and just to be clear, Hashem is not a math, it's not a math problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't, if this, then that, and it exactly goes that way.
Not transactional.
It's not Hashem's. It's not transactional, but even not transactional. It's not necessarily work exactly like this, but the concept.
Do your part, and I'll do mine.
Yeah, well, no, but even more than that, though. The Rambam says, what does it mean that we're going to get, if you do mitzvah, Hashem promises in the Torah, you do mitzvahs, I'm going to give you rain. So what does that mean? So the Rambam says, what that means is, if you do mitzvahs, I'll make your life such that you'll have opportunities to do more. Mm-hmm. Right? If you do the right thing, then you're showing me that you use that calm and you fill it with what? With good. If you take the calm and you fill it with nourishkeit, so I'm just, I don't need to give you the calm. Then I'll make things, Khalilah, I'll maybe make things more difficult, because what's going to happen is more difficult. Then you'll find me again. Right? Then you'll come back and you'll find Hashem, because things will be hard. So I'm not, again, this doesn't mean that a person who has a hard thing in their life is because they didn't use their time. We don't know exactly how it works. But the general construct is that we look for calm for the opportunity to do more good. Right? That's true. Zemasha Amar Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshava. Yaakov is held accountable here because he was Mivakesh. What did he want? He wanted Shebechazaro Migalus Lavan. He's coming back from Lavan's house. Mubikishas Esav, Mitzaras Dina. All the bad things that happened. He wanted a vacation.
It was the end, not the means to the
end. It was the end. He wanted calm. Why? For the calm. V'alzeh midas hadin mekatreges tzadikim mevakshim neishu b'shav. You want to, like, retire? Again, vacation is good. We need vacation. Vacation. What's the purpose of vacation?
To recharge.
To recharge, to get back. Right, this is, Rabbi Chorsky said this to us years ago. He said, in America, you work to go on vacation. In Yiddishkeit, you vacation so you can get back to work. Not work, your job, right? Avodas Hashem. We all need vacation. Everyone needs a break. You don't need a break, right? But what's the tachlis? The goal is I take a break so I can come back and then do the things that matter in my life, spend my rest of my time doing meaningful things, right? Yaakov's request of bikesh, he wanted leshe b'shava, I just want to be done. That's what Hashem says. Sorry. Very powerful. Correct. The place that, by the way, and that's the idea. When someone says, I'll relax when I'm dead. Meaning, I'm in this world to do. I'm in this world to help. I'm in this world to do mitzvahs. I'm in this world to help, to do something meaningful. That's my job. My job is to do something meaningful. We all look at our kids who, you know, right? Do something meaningful, right? Do something, right? But why do we think that way? Baruch Hashem, it's not a bad thing. It's not, I don't like this, like, Jewish guilt. What does that mean? It means that we live, this whole idea that the Jewish community is talking about Jewish guilt, you know? But what that really means is, we live life with purpose. So we don't believe in sitting around and doing nothing. So yeah, there's a little birdie that sits on our shoulders because it's driven into us from the time that we're children. Do tachlis. Get something done. Do something meaningful. Don't waste your time. Don't sit around watching YouTube. Like, do something that matters, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but that's why it drives us nuts, right, with our kids. Yeah. But that's because they're kids. They don't get it yet.
Right.
And as they get older, they will learn. And they've seen parents who spend their days doing meaningful things, and they're going to do the same thing, Right? So like, but it's such a beautiful teretz on the question. Like, what do you mean, leave Yaakov alone? The answer is, no. Hashem's okay with Yaakov taking vacation. He needs to use a little break, but not, okay, God, I'm done. That Hashem says, sorry, Yaakov.
It's funny, because last week, we just talked about, on the parsha, one of the mafreshim said, like, that he was saying, like, he has to earn, right? Mm-hmm. That God gave him something, yeah, like, in advance, and he has to, like, earn what God gave him, and now he's being like, well, I'm done.
Right? He's tired. He's tired. And it's hard. He's got a lot of hard things.
A lot of hard.
Yaakov has a lot of hard things. A lot.
And more to come.
And the hardest right. to come, probably. Yeah. Right? Okay, so that's answer number one was. Yeah. You should, it's okay. Yeah. Answer number one was what? Oh, yeah, the sinasim. Right? We're not done. Love Am Yisrael's not getting along. Answer number two is it's bakasha versus sheila. Right? A sheila, okay, you know, I want a little break so I can, that's fine. But to ask for it as a tachlis, that already, it's not. That's not the goal. Yeah. Vacation is a means to an end.
Right, like Shaul also is like a loan, like borrowing is temporary, not permanent.
Right. Oh, she, yeah. Like, yeah. Sheila, just like,
yeah.
Just for a little bit.
At least. She knows
for, all the for a little bit. For a little bit. Okay. I really wanted to show you two more things. But I'll tell you, let's see Rav Moshe Feinstein, source number five. The rule is if you're a rabbi and you have a Shalom Zachar, so you need to talk about Chinuch. Okay. The rule is go to the Drash Moshe. You go to the Sefer Drash Moshe, which is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Almost every vort in Drash Moshe is about chinuch. Every vort. It's amazing. It's all about chinuch. It's amazing. So if you need a dirt, okay? If you ever need to say a Devar Torah to Shalom Zachar, so now you know. Now you know where to go. Drash Moshe. Source number five. Okay. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Vayeshev Yaakov, Perish Rashi, Bigesh Yaakov, Leishev, B'Shalva, et cetera. Nira. Devadei Rotze Hashem Yisparach B'Shalva Tzadikim. Of course Hashem doesn't want it. He wants Tzadikim to be able to relax a little. Shehanolen V'Hanal Olam. Same language, right? This is a Gemara in Horus. But they can't enjoy both worlds? No, it's like all about chinuch and teaching children. What's that? He had 12 tzaddikim. Can you imagine? We're lucky if we get, like, you know, I'm not going to say. Right? 12 tzaddikim. Wow, it's amazing kids. Hashem loves them. And then what happens? Hashem sends Yosef. Why? Don't care how great your kids are. We should all think our kids are the greatest ever, right? We all need that. We never stop parenting our children. I don't care how great you think they are. That one doesn't need me. This one needs me. This one doesn't need me, right? Sometimes we say, right? There's sometimes a kid that takes all your attention, right? Or where it takes most of your attention. And like, but this one will be okay because he or she, they're like they're the easy one, right? They go easy. And what's the fear? I always say this. What's the fear with that one? That one shouldn't get ignored because it's so good, right? I mean, they're all good. You know what I'm saying? Right. They just, right.
Not the squeaky
some of them they are not the squeaky well.
Yeah. Get your attention.
Yeah. And what's so what will happen is they'll start to act out.
You don't so think they're fine.
Or it compromises the relationship altogher.
Yeah.
So less interaction than less interaction.
They just kind of go to the corner and read a book and do their thing. Hopefully mm-hmm. a book, right? They just like do their thing and they don't bother anybody. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's so easy. No, says Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe comes to teach Yaakov Avinu and teach all of us that all of them need to be the squeaky wheel. All of them, whether they're squeaky or not, they need to get the grease and they need our attention. And they don't just need our attention when they're young, they need our attention when they're old. And just like Yaakov wanted to relax and let his kids now go, you will continue to parent them. Doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter how good they are, they're going to need you, right? As all of us, you know, we all, right? We all need someone there for us no matter how old we are. And that's what Moshe says. So, okay, I guess we're going to have to stop here. So we'll stop here. But the bottom line is, this idea of Ratzi Yaakov Leishu Bashava can give us at least three answers. If you're interested, you can read the fourth answer from Steinsaltz in the back there. Number one, as long as Am Yisrael is not B'Shalom, our job is not done. Number two, we don't believe in vacation as an end. Vacation is a means to end. Vacation, Shalva is fine. A little bit of She'ela, a request for a break for a little bit, that's great. Why? To get back to work. Or according to Moshe Feinstein, that this whole story comes to remind us that no matter how good our children are, no matter how much we feel like they're okay, they'll be fine, they don't need me, they always need us. And they always need us to parent them, no matter how great they are, no matter how old they are, our kids need us all the time. Okay. Now you can read. Oh, everyone's reading. Everyone's reading your sentences. Okay, I'll just tell you what he says. He basically says.
Don't leave us in.
Fine. Okay. Fine.
Make me read that.
Fine. Rav Steinsaltz basically says the following. It's so nice. B'kesh yashal neishiv shava. He says the Jew is always asking, always questioning. Right. And the greater the Talmud Chacham, the more questions. The more questions, right? You're a bigger Talmud Chacham in yeshiva. The greatest guy in the shir is one who asks the best kashas. No one gives the best answers.
Right.
Best kashas. So what's the pshat? So he says, what the job of a Jew is to continue to ask questions all the time. And so he says the following. He says, Jacob, look at the second paragraph, the second column. Mm-hmm. Jacob wished to live in tranquility. Jacob is an old man, over 100 years old, and finally decided, by the way, that's how he was over 100 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And finally decided that he's done. He studied Torah for several years, he worked for several years, he married four women. Now, that's how she's Can you imagine? No, four women, tired. Oh my gosh.
Right, forget all
fascinating. I love that, it's so funny. I didn't realize that.
That's why you need a child.
I needed a break.
Not the 12 children, it's the four wives.
He has four wives telling him what to do. No, so now, reasons Jacob, he certainly deserves the right to settle down and lead a quiet life. The truth is that when the incident with Esav concludes, it appears that Jacob thinks the world has more or less reached a state of tranquility. We saw that before. Leviticus said the same thing. Just when Jacob is preparing to enjoy his hard-earned rest, God interrupts, saying it is not enough for the tzaddikim that so much is prepared for them in the next world. They seek to live in peace in this world. The righteous do not live at ease, not as a punishment for sins, but because for them to sleep in tranquility would be bad for them and bad for the world. The complication, the anguish, the pain that exists in the world, if the tzaddik does not have all of these, then apparently something is wrong with his essential character. While it's undoubtedly true that in certain respects, one who lives within the world of Judaism gains the ability to solve his inner dilemmas and torments, the end goal is never to enable one to settle down in tranquility. It's very disappointing. Or feels that way. To a certain extent. If at any point a Jew believes that he has freed himself of the Esavs and the loved ones of his life, and that he will now be able to enter a good and spacious land, where he will live at ease and rest in peace, he is simply mistaken. Going deeper and deeper into Judaism does not mean that one solves all of one's problems and attains tranquility. That kind of empty tranquility only brings a person closer and closer to death, to the point where his existence is entirely superfluous. Once our questions have been answered, they do not go away. They simply change, becoming new questions altogether. The draw of Judaism is not the prospect of attaining tranquility as it is in some other religions. When a person draws closer to Hashem and to the world of Judaism, he is rewarded not with rest, but only with questions and more questions. If a person is especially successful in his spiritual journey, every day, three of his small questions will die and three large questions will be born in their place. It's very beautiful, actually. Even in the world, it feels like a little validating, at least. Even in the world to come, there's no rest for the righteous. They go from strength to strength, which is another way of conveying this notion. When a tzaddik graduates from one world, finishing his learning process in this world, he's promoted to another world. What does he gain in this whole process if he's constantly working? What he gains through this labor are new questions, ones that he has never previously considered. Although these are more difficult questions, they are also questions that relate to a loftier world. He can engage in more exalted matters, but he never stops asking questions. What is more important? What is more fitting? What is the proper path to take? That is what is truly required, not to live in pursuit of tranquility, but to live in a world of questions, each one lifting a person higher and higher in his spiritual journey. What I think it really means, right, is that we always have things to work on and to struggle with and to master and to work. And I say this a lot to my students also. I'm like, I have very bad news for you. They're like 21. And I'm like, you're never, they're like, we're going to be, I'm just going to like make it. I'm like, I have really bad news. You're never going to make it. It's never over. It's just that's not the way of the human being. The human being doesn't arrive ever. It's like, oh, now I've, it's just not how it worked. It's like, it's momish what the Medrash is saying. Now I've arrived. No, sorry. And by the way, even if, I haven't done this yet. I haven't retired yet. You know, so whenever that happens. But like, right, even a person retires. So then, as we know, you got to figure out, find new things. Right, new fulfilling things. Right, you have new part. Right, it doesn't. Right, I shouldn't speak for those who retired, but I'm just saying. Like, right, you're never done. People need to find other meaning and other things. So that I invest more in chesed and more in learning and more my children, my grandchildren, whatever it's going to be. Right, it's just not this. Like, okay, now I've arrived and now it's over and now I can stop working hard. No, we're supposed to work hard to every single day of our life. There's a man. This is like This may not be inspiring. I don't know. But there was a man in NYU. He was known as the grape juice man. His name was Mr. Leidner. He used to sell grape juice to the boys in the yeshiva, which really by the time I was in yeshiva made no sense because they didn't need grape juice. They were going to the calf or they were going to someone's house for a meal. Why did he sell grape juice to the boys in yeshiva? Because one of the Rosh Yeshiva in like the 1930s or 1940s told him that the boys needed grape juice. Can you be, he worked in the food industry when he was, you know, maybe 50 or 60s. And he said to him, can you make sure this, so he continued to do this even till the year 2000, whatever the year was. So, and he worked every day of his life, this guy, this man, Mr. Leidner. He would every single day he would go to work. He was like in his late 80s, maybe he was in the 90s already. And he would go, every day he would go to work to where he worked for somebody in the food industry, because that's what he did. He would get in the subway, he would go to work. He was an elderly man, not so, and it was like an amazing work ethic. Mr. Leidner passed away on the subway, on the way to work. He was sitting on the subway waiting to work. And he passed away, and he fell asleep, and he like you know, without pain, without sickness. That's how he passed away. It was like a man who worked every day of his life. We went to his funeral. It was like very meaningful because we knew he was actually a cousin to one of my chavrusa. And it was like, but like a lot of the guys they went to JFK, you know, before he went to Eretz Yisrael. And like we all got on a bus, and we went to Mr. Leidner's funeral, and people said like, this is a man who worked every day of his life till mamish the last moment of his life. Person who said, I don't take a break. I'm given a commandment, I'm given a responsibility to do, I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna work, and I'm gonna try hard, and I'm gonna fight it till the very last moment. You know, and it was like it was very inspiring. This person, it was a number of years ago. But this is all that.